Tonight, we're going to kind of finish up the Freedom Tools teaching, the Freedom Tools book. But before I do that, I want to remember two announcements. One, the next two Wednesdays, we will not have the children's ministry, the first through fifth grade or whatever, the next two Wednesdays. I think we'll have the little bitties still, but not the bigger kids, just so you mamas and daddies know. So they're welcome to come in here, you know, if you want them to, but we'll be done with the Freedom Tools thing, and I'm not exactly sure what I'll do next week yet, but you guys keep talking about dreams, so that just stirred me up, and I was like, okay, we can do that one, because prophetic dreaming is really fun, and understanding biblical dream interpretation is really fun. It's really good, and that's just one of the ways that the Lord speaks to us, and so we might dissect that at some point. I'll pray about that. I had something else in mind for next week, but I'll pray, because that just stirred my heart a little bit, and I'm like, oh yeah, I love talking about dreams and how the Lord speaks in dreams. So, awesome. Love it. Love the testimonies. All right. So, just quick question. Has anybody tried, or when you guys were doing this ministry time at the end of last week, have you guys tried walking through the We Said or the Fruit Loop at all this last week? Have you tried to kind of explore with yourself or with somebody else kind of the tools? Shake, this means yes. This means no. Okay, so a couple of people. Okay, good. Well, the main reason why we wanted to go through this again, I know it's a little bit more of a challenge, I think, for people to really see this as a simple tool on some level to be able to know how to pray and how to move into this, because sometimes we, like I said before, we tend to get a little freaked out, a little scared, a little intimidated by emotional stuff, right? By emotional, I'm like, we don't even like it, like our own emotional stuff, right? So it's hard for us sometimes, you know, to be able to be there for somebody else with their stuff. But that is who we are called to be. Like, how else are we supposed to love one another, right? Like, so it's not just, okay, let's go clothe the, you know, whoever and feed the whoever or whatever, but we're to minister love. Right? And so it's really, really important that we have some tools in our tool belt to be able to know how to approach people, especially when they start to open up their heart and are sharing some of their issues, right? And then also catching it for ourselves whenever we're going through things. Like, all of these tools can apply to us. So this is how we apply the word, right? So that we can live out the fullness that Christ paid for. So we've been talking about being equipped, the saints, for the work of ministry. That is doing all things that Jesus did. And I think his most vital thing was, outside of salvation and saving us, right, was to restore heaven to us as sons and daughters so we could be fully manifesting everything that the Father wants for us. So that is body, soul, and spirit, okay? So to me, this is the biggie. Is our heart, is our very heart, how we think about things, how we apply the word to our brain, our thought life, how we apply it to wounds, how we're able to repent and remove our mindset from sin. These are the tools that are very simple structure that we can use to apply daily living, daily stuff. Sometimes I think when we think about this, we think sometimes only when we think Freedom Tools, we think bondage or addiction or sometimes, you know, what I'm going to call the harder stronghold kinds of issues or whatever, right? But that's not true, because every single one of us goes through wounding. Every single one of us has to be renewed in our mind to think different. How do we apply the word, right? I mean, Pastor's been teaching on the kingdom foundations. Well, how do we walk through all of that if we don't grow a kingdom mindset, if we don't know our identity, if we don't apply the very truth of God to our daily life, right? Okay, so this is for us as well as for the people that we're going to be able to love and minister to. So I just want to encourage you to think about those very simple tools in the same way that we've talked about before, and I'm bringing this up over and over and over again because I really want to help you guys be able to see the comparison of and the picture of the tool belt. Just as we pray for healing, there's pain in the knee, we walk through that, right? We interview, we pray, we cast it out. We stand in faith over those things, even if we still drive to the ER, but we look for the manifestation of the fruit of the healing too, right? I mean, so that's kind of our framework for how we pray. Well, the same thing is true when we have an emotional wound. We have to be able to know, okay, where did the wound come from? So we walk through the We Said. Well, where? What was this thing? What was this issue rooted in? So that we know how to pluck it out how to renounce it, rebuke it, replace the lie with truth, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit in that way, casting out anything that doesn't need to belong there, right? Okay? So, if you haven't read through the book, I really encourage you to do it. This is not just for those who feel like they're called to inner healing ministry. I think this is like Christianity 101. This is how we minister to hearts. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, y'all. So we're the hands and feet and the mouthpiece of the Lord. So how are we to help bind up the brokenhearted? By using these tools. Let's see where my little marker is here. Is about 2/3 through the book. I am not going to dig into every detail of every chapter in the book, though. I just wanted to give you those basic tools. But today I wanted to kind of wrap up our teaching a little bit by jumping into an understanding and an activation of what he labels the advanced tools. I think, honestly, they're just other tools, although I understand why he calls them advanced, because there's a lot of ways to dissect some of these tools and how you use them in complicated situations. But again, I'm trying to simplify everything a little bit just to keep it really easy to understand as well. And so there are the advanced tools as he lists them. There's the four doors, the Father ladder, presenting Jesus, and then he does a whole section on dealing with demons. So the dealing with demons, we're not going to go into, because we've talked a little bit already about how we cast out, how we focus on the person, not on the demonic, right? But we take authority, but the bigger issue is remove any place of authority that the demonic may have, okay? So I'm not going to dissect a lot of that or go into that. The four doors, I'm just going to mention briefly. It's just another, there's a great little chart on page 161. If you have the book, there's just a little matrix that they put in there, and at the top, they go through the WESUD. So looking at the source again, the wounding, entanglement, sin, false or ungodly belief, and any demonic influence. And then down the right-hand side, it'll talk about the four doors. So this is just another way, when someone's talking to you and we're looking for the root issue of things, what, quote, opened the door for the enemy to possibly have access to you? Well, there's four key doors would be one way to look at this, okay? So regardless of the we said, whether it's wounding, entanglement, sin, or whatever, these are four kind of topics or, sin, basically, categories, if you will. One would be sexual sin and soul ties. That's a big door that we need to make sure is shut. Anger and unforgiveness would be the second one. The third one is fear and control. And then the fourth one would be any occult or false religion, okay? Any opening there. Now, this is a great tool when you're wanting to, just kind of jump right in. You can look through the WESUDs and things like that. But the way that they use this little matrix, I think, is really great, because you're going through the WESUD looking for the sources. But again, let's say it's wounding, okay? You can show up with some wounding as a result of sexual sin. You can show up with wounding as a result of anger and unforgiveness. You can show up with wounding as a result of, do you see what I'm saying, any of those four doors. You can show up with ungodly belief because of sexual sin or soul ties. You can show up with ungodly belief because of anger and unforgiveness or fear and control. Okay, so that's the matrix, if you will. So it's just, again, another tool. So a lot of times when we're praying with people, and we're wanting to shut all of those doors. And so when we start to ask the Lord to reveal what are those areas, looking at the fruit, what are those areas of those doors that we want to ask the Lord about? Now, a lot of times when we're interviewing people, they'll know some of these things, right? Like they're going to know their history. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll ask them, before we meet, if you think about these four doors, are any of these stand out to you as possible open doors? For example, number one, sexual sin and soul ties. So, it's pretty black and white. Sexual sin is, fornication, adultery, any of those kinds of things. So in any place in your timeline of life, if there was sexual abuse, if there was rape, if there was any of those kinds of things, whether you participated or it happened to you, could be an open door. Again, you could be a prisoner or a captive, right? This is not about fault or blame. It's just about identifying access. And so when we go through that, we might have them just ask the Lord and then just begin to kind of write a list. if there's a name for some people, to be honest, there are some people we've worked with that there's too many, right? There's too many to name or too many to count sometimes, but the Lord knows, right? And so in their own heart of hearts, they go through their list and then they can go before them and say, Lord, bring a name or a face if you want me to recall it specifically. Or you know, Lord, you know the names and the times and the, you know, and the time frames or whatever. And so you can do that. But again, we really like for them to own any specific ones that they can walk through with the Lord in order to confess those and to renounce any of those. Soul ties, I've talked a little bit about this before, but soul ties go hand in hand with this door because when we become sexually intimate with anyone, we partner with a covenant that God created to bind two people together. Unintentionally, we create an unholy soul tie. For example, in a covenant of marriage, you know, sex was God's idea, okay? He created it so that man and woman would be one, not just flesh, but body, soul, and spirit, okay? Sex is supposed to be a worship experience, quite frankly, okay? And so because of the way that the enemy has been able to come in, taint, and twist, see, he knows the design of God to create that bond and to create that intimacy. So what he's going to do is create all kinds of a mess with that. Okay? And so what happens is, and the only way I know how to explain this is to give you a mental picture. And that is anybody and everybody that I would have sexual contact with, I create a tether to. Okay? It's like a tie. That's why I call it a soul tie. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You're going to tie yourself to this other person. Why? Because I have given a piece of myself to them, and they've given a piece of themselves to me. There's an exchange that has taken place, a bond that has been created. Even if you think one-night stands don't do this, I promise you in the spirit it does, because that's what God designed sex to do. So he created that bond, but there is a way to make it unholy when you do it outside of the law of God, right? In the covenant of God, in the covenant of marriage. So every time there's been an occurrence, okay, there is a tie that's created, and that tie basically opens up a door and gives legal access for the enemy to be able to mess with me. So let's just say, for example, because I've seen this happen, and I know it sounds strange, but just go with me here for a moment. If I had an encounter with this person in an unholy way, and let's just say I'm no longer in relationship with them, but I have not severed that soul tie, I have seen it happen because of the manifestation of depression, for example, where we've walked through and shut some doors, and because I didn't get to the other doors, I knew that this was one of them, and we had cut very specifically some soul ties with this person. Depression had never manifested in this person before, okay? But we know that the partner had depression. Even though that relationship no longer existed and they had never had an issue with chemical depression, clinical depression, okay, the minute that soul tie was broken and released, something shifted so much that there was no more depression symptoms. And it wasn't because of anything else we had done. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, that was how we kind of knew there was immediate resolution and fruit of that. And so it's like whatever the demonic had manifested itself, had access to this person, now had access to me because of that tie. But the minute you cut that tie, it no longer has access. We have just shut that door. Does that make sense? So it's like a highway that gets created for the enemy to be able to kind of, you know, jump on the train and, you know, and just kind of do that with. There's a whole other teaching I will not get into, but about trauma bonds to time and places and things. I've had couples go where there have been affairs and so forth, and they've walked through like a checklist of things. They just wanted to really kind of do clean house, right? They wanted to do like spring cleaning in their spirit. So we walked through lots of different areas, and one of those areas, there was an affair that had taken place, and repentance had happened and forgiveness was being worked on, but there kept being a trigger to the location, one of the hotels, okay? So they went as a couple and went to that location, prayed and asked forgiveness to break whatever sin had taken place that they had partnered with on the land, because land can be defiled, it can be holy or right, it can be put into negative numbers and unholy, or it can be positive numbers. So land, time, location, people, okay, there's ways to make things holy or unholy, okay? I kind of look at it like this. Everything in the material world is like a battery, it holds a positive or negative charge, okay? So if I were to say, like, this was the very seat that Jesus sat on when he ate the Last Supper, we'd be like, oh, the holy chair, right? And it'd be in some museum or something, okay? Or whatever. Or like, this is the chair that so-and-so. I mean, we have museums that do that. We have, like, artifacts and things that we honor and you know, and keep safe so that we remember, and it becomes, like, this very special item or whatever. It has significance because of whatever had occurred with it, right? We have those associations. Well, the same thing can happen in the negative as well. So positive or negative, that's a spiritual dynamic. I won't be able to unpack all that completely, but just for the sake of this teaching again, soul ties. Let's go back to soul ties. So we want to sever the soul ties. And so oftentimes we'll just ask the Lord, because that's what we did with this particular couple, is like we asked the Lord if there's anything else, because it just didn't feel like it was finished. We'd gone through kind of everything or whatever and broken off some things. And so for them, it was a feeling or a sense, a word of knowledge that the Lord said, we've got to go and cleanse the land of where it happened. And so again, they walked through not only repentance with one another, but asked the Lord to forgive what happened on the land and release the sin from the land and bless the land and prayed over that land to make it holy again. So, and that, it made a difference. So that's sexual sin and soul ties. Soul ties, I do believe, can also be created not just by the sexual door, but a place of manipulation and stuff too, like emotional, over-emotional control. Sometimes that can show up actually in fear and control and unforgiveness too, but just something to think about with the soul tie. So that would be the biggie, the sexual sin and soul tie. That would be door number one. So we ask the Lord to bring up any of the sin, names and faces. Then you just walk through the same little fruit loop that we've talked about before, where we, you know, confess it, renounce it, come into agreement with the truth of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit, replacing those things, okay? And so a phrase that I like to use when I pray, it's just a phrase with the doors, is, Lord, we ask that you would now shut this door so that the enemy no longer has access through this door. And we place your blood to seal the door so that it cannot be opened. Because there's a verse that says that God opens doors that no man can close, and he closes doors that no man can open, right? And so that was just a verse that had come out of me during a session in a time, and we just, like, you know, we're just going to plead the blood over the door and just seal it. Seal it with his blood. And so that's just a phrase that I say when I'm praying through the doors. The second door would be anger and unforgiveness. We've kind of talked about that, but anywhere where there's hatred, anywhere, you know, where there's bitterness, we've got to be able to deal with that door, okay? So that would be certainly one. Again, any names or faces, places, situations that still prick you, if there's still a layer of that, that would be one door we want to make sure is sealed up. So, you know, when So sometimes instead of just asking the Lord for fruit, you can just go through these four doors and see, do I fit any of these categories? Any of those stand out to me? It's one tool, one way to do that. The third one would be fear and control, anxiety, fear. And this could be fear of failure or fear of success. It could be fear of the future. It could be fear of man. I mean, listen, there's lots of things, you know, to be afraid of, okay? So any place where there's fear. Now, I'll just share with you in one of my own inner healing sessions, as I was dealing with a particular issue, and I thought it was really anger-related. Well, after we had dealt with some of the anger stuff, then we started to realize, no, there was fear there. And part of the thing that I've wrestled with in my own life is fear of pride and fear of boldness. Because, number one, pride has always been one of those things. I remember since I was really little, it's like that was the thing that kicked Satan out of heaven. So you don't want that one, right? And so I was like, okay. But I am a very confident kind of personality, loud, direct, black and white, okay? So when I come across that way, the thing that would bring me rejection would be an accusation of pride, when that was never in my heart or my intent. Because sometimes confidence looks like arrogance to the insecure. I've been accused of that before. Now, I am not standing here before you and saying I've never had pride, because I know I have. Please hear me. But I also know there were times when I didn't, yet the accusation was there and rejection came because of it. Am I making sense? So there was a fear of pride, not just pride itself being there, but a fear of pride. So I had to recognize that was there. I was like, what? Oh, okay. So that was something I had to deal with. And then there was also the fear of boldness. Because of my bold personality, because I would open mouth sometimes without thinking and saying things I probably shouldn't have said, or the way that I said them, right? That would also bring rejection. So then fear of boldness actually restricted me from being everything that God made me to be, right? So now I know I have a dimmer switch, and there is some self-control in that. That's a good thing, right? With my wiring, we talked about design and wiring before with the redemptive gifts. Okay, I've learned that aspect of me, but I also now know in the confidence of my identity and who I am that I am a bold person. It is who I am. Now, how I work on communication and relationships is a whole other thing, right? But there's no more fear of boldness. Does that make sense? Because the fear part is gone. Does that make sense? So dealing with whatever level or layer of fear is really important. And then oftentimes fear and control are like opposite sides of the same coin. So sometimes people don't recognize that they have fear issues, but when you start talking about control issues, anybody have control issues? I don't know a single human being that doesn't like to be in control, you know? So that is another kind of fear, another layer or level of fear. And so just asking the Lord, what is showing up, or what would be a phrase, if you will. So for me, it was the fear of pride specifically. Like I didn't just blanketly say fear, right? Like it was specific. The Lord needed me to go into a specific area so that I could have insight and revelation into the access of the enemy to me. Does that make sense? So it was fear of that. I know people who, you know, you may struggle with fear of failure. You know, most people I think do, or fear of public speaking, or, you know, there's lots of different fears. Fear of success was an interesting one that I've worked on with a few people, because every time they would succeed, the bar would go up a notch and then they'd have to perform again. So that performance and striving thing, it wasn't so much, yes, it's fear of failure on some level, but it was also a fear of success because of another expectation being placed on them. So sometimes just asking the Lord, what am I afraid of? Like, you know, ultimately, what is that fear? And being able to shut that door. And then any occult or false religion, anytime you've ever dealt with anything, if you've ever participated in Ouija boards, if you've ever participated in anything that is not of the Lord, obviously those are those kinds of things, relics, all kinds of things like that that you can ask the Lord about and he can walk you through. So those are the four, you know, doors. So you think about that being a tool that you can just think those four categories. Have I dealt with all those things? Is the Lord highlighting you those things in those areas? And if we feel like all those doors are shut, then, you know, that's a good starting place sometimes, okay, for inner healing. Any questions about that, about the four doors? Certainly, yeah, you can certainly have more than one door, but I kind of look at it like, you know, a submarine can't go really, really deep into the water unless all the hatches are closed. You know, so if I have a hatch open, there's going to be a problem, right? I'm not going to be able to go into the deep things of the Lord if I have a hatch open. So we want to shut all those doors. But yeah, you can have more than one. I just ask the Lord, or just whatever's manifesting, whatever the fruit is. He was asking, which do you deal with first? Well, in this particular tool, if I pull that out, I'm just looking at all four doors, those categories. You know, just ask Jesus. Jesus, is there anything, or the Father, we'll talk about this in just a minute, just asking the Lord, is there any area where the door of fear has been opened that we need to close? Is there any area where the door of anger or bitterness, unforgiveness, is still open? Is there still a door somewhere that's open in that category? Does that make sense? So it's a real easy, simple, again, tool you can kind of just pull out as we're doing inner healing and prayer with people. Now, the two that I want to really spend our time on are my favorites. And that is the Father ladder and then presenting Jesus. Now, here's the thing about the Father ladder tool, and I am not going to dissect this completely. I'm trying to keep this really basic, really easy and simple. If you want more, I promise you it is all in the book. It's really good. The Father ladder. You know, our first connection and relationship is through family, right? So father, mother, siblings. And so I believe that family is super important to the Lord, because he actually created himself in relationship with himself. And he chose to call himself Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I know that the pronouns used are he, okay? But like my daughter who figured this out at 4 years old said, well, if there's Father and then there's a Son, then Holy Spirit must be the mommy God, right? And I'm like, yeah, sure, why? Counselor, comforter, spirit of wisdom and truth. That sounds like a mom to me, right? So I'm like, okay, totally makes sense. Well, what's fascinating is that that is part of what we look at when we're looking at the Father ladder tool. The father, when we have wounding or we have issues with fathers, okay, what does the representation of the father do? Well, fathers are to provide, they're to protect, and they speak identity over us. That's the role of a father, okay? They're to resource us, right? Whether you are a son or a daughter, that is what fathers do. And so those primary roles, however they do that, is really, really key. So when we don't get what we need, Heavenly Father, even if we did get what we needed on some level, Heavenly Father always has more. Heavenly Father has the ability to be able to meet that legitimate need for provision, protection, and speaking our very identity, right? That's why we talk so much when we talk about our kingdom identity and our identity in the Lord. It's all from the Father's heart because we've got to know who we are as sons and daughters. We have to start there. We have to do everything through the heart of the Father because it's that love, intimate relationship that we can cry out, Abba, Daddy. You know, if you go to Israel and you hear little kids running around, you know, one of the things you're going to hear them say is, Abba, 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 because they're saying Daddy when they're calling their Daddy. They're saying Abba. Okay, that's like Papa or Daddy. It's an intimate, endearing term, and that is how Jesus spoke to the Father, right? And Jesus said, you know, that we're sons. We're sons and daughters. So the Father has the ability to heal father wounds. Jesus, when we think of, we're going to think of companionship and communication is how we deal with sibling and peer relationships, those issues. When we have sibling or peer relationship issues, oftentimes companionship and communication are areas that Jesus will be able to minister and heal. Because he is brother, he is big brother, okay? But he is also man. So he knows intimately what life has been like here on the earth for us. Okay, so he is the one who knows how to relate, right? He went through all of those things. He was tempted as we were tempted, okay? And so when we think of needing healing for sibling or peer relationships, you know, I even look at Jesus as the bridegroom God, so marital, you know, relationship in that way too. You can do that as well. And men are the bride of Christ as well, so you can look at it that way. And Holy Spirit as the mother, you know, Holy Spirit comforts, nurtures, teaches. Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth, Spirit of wisdom. Okay, Jesus said, I'm going to go away to the Father. It is really good that I go because then he's going to send you, Holy Spirit, that's going to instruct you in all of the things that I've told you about. He's the one that's been doing all the work since Jesus left to be with the Father. Okay, he is the manifestation of the Lord in us, through us, and for us. So when we talk about the Father ladder, what we're looking at is trying to help people identify where they are in their wounding and how an aspect of the Trinity, that relationship with an aspect of the Trinity, can come in and bring healing. Okay? So sometimes I'll start off with just asking, and so I want you to think now, I'm going to ask you this question, you don't have to say it out loud. But when I say the word Father, when we think of Father God, what comes to mind? Okay, I just want you to think for a minute. What comes to mind when you hear God the Father or Father? How would you describe him? How does he feel? What's an impression or a picture? Or if you were to consider your relationship with Father, if you were to consider closeness or distant, okay? Lots of people describe the Father in very different ways. Sometimes because of any wounding or having no father or an abusive father or a father that wasn't very active, sometimes we can project those things onto Heavenly Father and it taints our view of him. Some people gravitate to Heavenly Father, though, and have been really close to him because they didn't have that. So it's really important not to assume. Lots of people have a different picture. I think I've shared with you guys before that, you know, when that verse I read sometime in college, I remember reading, when Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He and I are one and the same. And I remember thinking, oh, I don't see all the same. There's something wrong, right? So that was kind of a clue. He is one and the same because everything points to the Father, right? So there was something off with me. That's how I recognized when I looked at all three aspects of the Trinity, there were some things that were not the same. So I want you to just think about right now, you don't have to share, I just want you to think about how you connect or relate to the Father. again, different people have different connections with the Father. Some people have a hard time with Father. I know a particular client who is really close to Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit reminded her more of her grandmother, kind of a grandmother kind of figure, and her grandmother was very Spirit-filled and always talked about Holy Spirit, so she kind of had that when she thought of Holy Spirit. She thought of a grandmotherly type of figure. But when you brought up Jesus or the Father, there was a whole lot of distance and hesitation because of the male figure. She didn't have positive male influence in her life, okay? So I just want you to think about, where is the picture of the Father for you and in relationship, okay? And now I want you to think about Jesus, the Son. When I say Jesus, what comes to mind? What do you see, hear, sense, or feel? How close or distant? Is there a barrier of any kind? Question? Okay, just want you to think about that. How do you see him? How do you picture him? And then as you think about Holy Spirit, when you think about Holy Spirit, what do you think? What do you sense? How would you describe your connection or lack thereof? What do you even have a picture of Holy Spirit? Some people do, some people don't. Anybody read The Shack by William Young? Anybody read that book? Love that book. I loved the book because he walks through, I think, a great journey in the main character, Mac, this father, in discovering the Trinity and having connection in a different, in a way that he describes the characters actually of the Trinity, I think were really fascinating, and how he related to each one of them. I don't want to give the book away though, but how he relates to the Father, you know, is very different than how he relates to the Son and how he relates to Holy Spirit, and the journey changes as they go through the book. So it's really, really fascinating. I think it's a great read, a great fictional story that's got great theology, really, kind of behind it. But I'll share with you just my own testimony. You know, when I was really young, all I heard about was Jesus, right? And so I came to the Lord at 9 years old. I heard about the Lord, and so Jesus was my best friend. He was my Savior. He was the one I talked to. Like, he was the one that was like Big Brother, but he was my King. You know, so it was Jesus, 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 Jesus. And anytime you thought about the Father was really scary and kind of intimidating, because it's like, whew, if it wasn't for Jesus, boy, the Father would, like, you know, strike me down or something, right? That was my impression from a very early age. Now, I was Daddy's girl, though. So in terms of my own relationship with my father, I didn't have an issue with my father. I wasn't a striving performer kind of person in that regard, but I was the oldest of four with a Korean mother. So yeah, I did have some performance stuff, okay? But all I know is when I walked through church and I went through that whole encounter, and especially going through Old Testament, New Testament survey, because it was required in college where I went, I began to discover the Bible. And like I said, I read that, and he's like, he and I are the same. And I'm like, wait, what? So I had to go, Jesus, how do you know the Father? I want to know the Father the way you know the Father. Because the picture of the Father that I have, he is like Abraham Lincoln, you know, on that big old memorial, really big and distant, right? And so I had to ask him, I need to discover how you're like. And I remember when I first even read The Shack, I remember asking the Father, I would say, you know, Father seems really formal. I know who you are on some level, but I want to know you in a more intimate level. And so I'm going to borrow what Max says in the book and call you Papa. That feels kind of weird, but can I do that? Because I can't call him Daddy, because that's what I call my dad when I was little. So it just is weird for me to call God Daddy. Okay, I know lots of people do. It's totally great. But I borrowed that, and I said, Father, can I just start calling you Papa and try that out? You know, and he said, yeah. So as I grew closer with the Father, had conversations, began to study the Father's heart, I actually had him take me through the Old Testament. This may sound really strange, but because I was doing Old Testament survey, I'm like, Lord, you don't look the same in the Old Testament as you do in the New Testament. You don't feel the same to me, you know? Like, you're supposed to be the same God yesterday, today, and forever, but you don't feel and look the same to me. So I went through, he's like, let's just go through. And it was like he was holding my hand through the Old Testament and revealing his heart through the Old Testament. And I saw the Old Testament with completely different eyes when I saw it through the Father's heart. And I wept and I broke over it. And I began to really grow and understand and consume books on the Father's heart. Jack Frost is a great book. Experiencing the Father's Embrace is a really good one. He has lots in his ministry, from slavery to sonship. Leif Hetland has some books on the Father's heart. Jack Taylor, you know, lots of people have books on the Father and the Father's heart. But I just began to consume books and just like, I need to see you, Father, the way Jesus sees you. So I would enter into Jesus and I'd say, okay, Jesus, now take me to the Father. Because at first it was a little scary, right? Like we're going to tiptoe into the throne room and here's the, you know. But at some point I got to be able to call him Papa and grew in this place of intimacy where I, like a child, can run to the throne of grace with confidence. And I could be the little girl that crawls up in Papa's lap and get a big old hug like I would when I was really little with my dad. And had that same connection and same kind of, and that's when I knew something was healed and taken care of. But now in my Baptist upbringing, there was no such thing as Holy Spirit, really. Like Holy Spirit was just kind of like a word. It was like a fog, you know. So when I started to study and understand Holy Spirit as a person, okay, and had a teaching, Patricia King had some teaching on him, and then she actually shared, you know, reading Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. And so I was like, okay. And so anyway, as I was studying and learning and trying to grow into Holy Spirit and, you know, and even the charismatic movement and all that stuff, it was really odd for me that Holy Spirit, you know, again, knowing here the comforter, nurture, instruction, like I was like, I know you're a comforter. I know how you speak to me. I know how you are. But for me, I didn't feel like there was a mother thing there. Like, I kept trying to, like, picture, you know, okay, what mother wound is there? You know, I'm a therapist. I'm a psychoanalyst myself. So, you know, what mother wounds are there? What are some of those? And I'm not going to say I don't have some, but all I'm saying is I was trying to go there in basically using the Father ladder, going, okay, what are some of those places, Holy Spirit? Like, why is there this disconnection? Is it just teaching and lack thereof? Or was there something else in there? And all I can say to you is in one of my own inner healing prayer times, Holy Spirit came to me as a Korean man, my mother's Korean, came to me as a Korean man wearing a tuxedo. And what I felt and what exuded from him was the only word I can come across is honor. Like, honor. And it was like holy and sweet and gentle. And there was something that took place in that session with him that broke off whatever, that I could connect to Holy Spirit as a person. Now, since I've asked again, like I did with Papa, I asked Holy Spirit, can I call you Mom or Mommy or Mama? Or what do I call you, Holy Spirit? Can I call you Comforter? Can I call you, you know, so I was trying to find language for Holy Spirit. I never really came up with like a title. It was just weird, anything I tried. So I just called him Holy Spirit. So, but I again tried to kind of embrace that nurture, the comforter, right? If we didn't need a comforter, he wouldn't have been called that, right? Jesus himself called him that, right? The paraclete. So he comes to assist and guide. So just talking to Holy Spirit in the same way that Benny Hinn did in the book, good morning, Holy Spirit. How are you doing today? What are we doing? What are you doing? Will you show me what you're doing in my life today? Where were you today? How did you move and breathe and activate? How do you talk to me in a whole new way? And then as I began to study revival and study the moves of God and study the power of God and all those kinds of things, I began to get different aspects and understanding of Holy Spirit. That's just my own journey. But I share that with you because it is okay wherever you are in your walk with the Lord. But I want to encourage you to think about what aspect of the Trinity do you feel closer to? And then why is it different to any of the others? So you might start with the one that you're closest to and then ask that part of the Trinity to introduce you to another in the way that they know them, because they know each other really well, you know? And so in the aspect of the tool of the Father ladder, I will often ask people, especially because another tool is called inviting Jesus. Well, it's hard to do the inviting Jesus if somebody has a big old wall with Jesus, but they can do something with Holy Spirit or the Father. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why I like to start sometimes with Father ladder, just to even ask the questions of, tell me what comes to mind when you think of each of these parts, because whichever one you feel closest to is the language I'm going to borrow as your prayer person. So instead of saying all the time, Jesus, 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 I might say, Holy Spirit. Or I might say Papa, if that's what they call him, right? And so I want to borrow the language because that makes their heart a little bit more open than, for example, the girl that I was telling you about that was like really disconnected from male. I could not say Jesus or Father. I had to say Holy Spirit because anytime I slipped and accidentally said, now Jesus, will you? I'd have to stop myself. I'm so sorry. Holy Spirit, will you come? Because you could see it, a shift. There was a bit of a hesitation there because she saw them so different, how she related with the Lord in that way. Does that make sense? So we know that he's not three gods, he's one. Let me clarify that, okay? But in the way that you relate to him, the Lord himself describes him in this way all through scripture, right? He refers to himself in relationship with himself. So I believe he did that because he knows our finite little brains needed to have some place to be able to go to create intimate relationship with him, and especially since his idea is family and relationship, and that's how he started us all off in the first place, right? It's not good for man to be alone, so he created Eve, and then they had children, and they, right? So family is really important to him, and that's why he called himself a father. So when we start thinking about when we're praying for people and we can at least get an understanding of kind of who they can connect with and hear from. And then as we unpack some of these different issues, whether you go through the we set or whether you go through the four doors, then you can use that particular language, right? That's going to be safe for them. But then as I was just sharing with you, if there's an opportunity to be able to go, okay, we're really great with Jesus, but the Father's really distant. So let's ask Jesus to take us to the Father and ask the Father, here we go. Are there lies that I believe about you? Here's where we discover the ungodly beliefs. Why is there distance between me and you, Father? What's the block there, right? Like, is there sin or guilt? Is there fear? Is there any of those other kinds of things? It'll help us to be able to discover again, how do we grow an intimate relationship with you? Obviously, there's some disconnect. Sometimes it's because, well, it's hard for me to relate to Heavenly Father because I still have issues from my own Father. I need to forgive. I need to heal, right? So there's wounding, or there may be sin, or an entanglement, or ungodly belief. There may be some stuff there that we have to deal with. So as we're praying for people, see how I'm going through the we said at the same time, so going, oh, well, that highlights an area of that. So then we can take that to the Father and ask the Father to heal that. Ask the Father to reveal his place in us where we need what we didn't get from our fathers, right? So that we don't project ungodly beliefs or characterizations about him that are not true. Okay? And then the same thing with Holy Spirit. I think sometimes, and maybe it's just because it's my reference, I think sometimes the disconnect with Holy Spirit is just really lack of teaching on my part. I wasn't ever taught about Holy Spirit as a person. Okay? But I know some people on the other end of the spectrum who got really abused in a charismatic church. Right? So Holy Spirit was freaky. You can call him Holy Ghost. You know, ghost is kind of a scary word when you're a kid growing up in the Pentecostal church. You know what I'm saying? So I know people who are on that end of the spectrum too, right? And so just being sensitive to where people are and how they connect with the Lord, but allowing the language to change and shift so that you can connect and be ministered to and to minister to other people really well by the aspect of the Trinity. But as I was sharing and as I was asking you how you connected or didn't with each of the different parts, I don't want anybody to raise your hand if you don't feel comfortable, but I just wanted to ask, can you see or feel or hear that there's a difference sometimes? Or that you can see how other people certainly can, especially. But if you recognize that within your own heart, I just want to encourage you. Like, good that Holy Spirit revealed it. Good that God just revealed that, right? And so now we can go back to the Lord or whatever part of the Trinity that you can connect with and ask, why is there a difference? What is that about? Why do I not see you the same? What more do I need to know about you? How do I get to know you better, right? And so asking, going through the Father ladder, I think is a real amazing approach to be able to help people understand how they picture him, how they can describe their connection with them. And then, of course, when we're going through the actual prayer time, you know, we ask lots of questions in inner healing ministry, and we sit. And so literally, I'm going to do this with you for just a moment, and I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. And as we're thinking about each part of the Trinity, we're just going to ask, because I don't know where you are, and I don't necessarily want to expose you. I just want to give you an opportunity right now, though. We're just going to ask the Lord to come and minister to you right now, okay? And so, Lord, I ask that you would just come right now in whatever manifestation that they can connect with you best. Would that part of you come forward now? And just let the Lord come to you in the way that you feel most intimate, most safe, most close. And I just want you to be there for a moment. Just let him come to you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I just want you to ask the Lord to yourself, so you don't have to do this out loud, but just to yourself, whoever it is that you're talking with right now, whoever's in front of you, just ask, what do you think of me? And let him answer. And if you're willing, I'm going to ask that this aspect of the Trinity now walk you to another one, whomever you feel like should be next. And if you're willing, ask, and Lord, what do you think of me? And if you're willing, allow the Lord to lead you to the third part of the Trinity. And let's ask, and Lord, what do you think about me? Lord, we thank you. We declare that you are God and you are one. We thank you that you declare yourself to be a triune God in relationship with yourself, and your greatest desire is relationship with us. You desire family. Lord, would you help us now just reveal each place in our heart where we may be disconnected from you or any aspect of you in any way, shape, or form, and just file it away for us that we can come back to this place again with you to bring healing, to bring truth, to grow into the next level of intimacy with you wherever our heart is willing and able. I thank you for being present. You are always here, always near, and always available. And we thank you for that, Lord. Now just stay in that place of connection with the Lord. And I'm going to invite you, if it feels safer or more comfortable, to go back to the part of the Trinity that you feel most close to, or however you want to see that. If you're totally good with all three there, that's fine with me too, but whatever you want to do, just stay connected with the Lord. And Lord, I'm just going to ask that you now bring forth a memory full of joy and connection with you. Lord, would you remind them of a time when they had a great connection with you, a connection place of joy, of intimacy, of worship, of fun. Just they knew that you were there, where you were God Emmanuel, God with me. Refresh a memory now, Lord. Refresh that strong connection. If more than one comes to mind, just ask the Lord to help you to just choose one. But remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord in that moment. And Lord, now would you increase that connection, refresh that connection, and bring it forth today. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Refresh this memory now. Let us re-experience that time and that place and that space with you. Thank you, Lord. And as you're connecting, just let gratitude, appreciation, worship, or praise come forth. We know that as we grow in connection, as we move in the place of thankfulness and gratitude, it brings together that place of bonding and connection, connecting in joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let your peace and your joy come. Remember. And strengthen this connection even more, Lord. Multiply it. Strengthen it now. Now, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? And Lord, what do you want to give tonight? Just let your hands face out, palms up, as you're receiving something. Just let your hands come forth and say, Lord, what do you want to give to me right now? What do you want to give, Lord? You're such a giver. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Release more, Lord. Would you just fill now? Just fill a fresh baptism of your love, of your peace, of your joy, of your strength. Lord, just pour over each one. We receive, Lord, from you all that you have. We drink of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We love you, God. In his name I pray. Amen. Now, we went into Father Ladder a little bit. If you guys want to share, you're welcome to, but I don't want to pressure anybody to. And those are very intimate moments and things, so it's okay. And we are recording, so I want to remind you of that. If you choose to share, it will be recorded. But I want, if you're willing, to share any aspect of the Trinity walking through the Father Ladder, anything that you want may want to share about any of that. But just recognizing that encounter and that experience and how I just walked you through that is just a similar little exercise that you can do with other people as well, just to be able to explore their connection with the Lord, okay? And that you can always do that with yourself too. But what I moved you into is a tool that's not really in this book. Now, the other tool is called Presenting Jesus or Inviting Jesus, and it's based on an Emmanuel approach by Dr. Carl Lehman. And Emmanuel means God's with me, right? And so this is in lots of inner healing streams, okay, this tool. And essentially, when we get to a place where there is a memory, particularly a traumatic memory or something, because our brain literally takes a picture with chemicals in our brain when it comes to memory, where you can re-experience something. So what I walked you through just now was a glorious moment. Okay, a glory moment, and Emmanuel, God was with me, and it was really good. Lord, bring back a memory and a time, refreshing a connection that I had with you. So it could have been a time in worship or your child's birth or whatever. Like, it could have been any experience, right? A number of different experiences or time frames. It could have been when you were young or like last week or this morning, right? Doesn't matter. It was God was with me, and I knew. One of the ways we call that Emmanuel moment, we call it a 5-bar moment. It's like on your cell phone. If you've got 2 bars, it's not a really strong connection, but a 5-bar is a really strong connection, right? We want to move into a place where we get into that connection. We know in brain science that when we celebrate, give gratitude, thankfulness, that activates the same part of our brain where joy connection happens. And you can not only do that with people, when I'm with somebody who likes to be with me and I don't have to earn it, joy fires off right here behind my forehead, the prefrontal orbital cortex. The same thing happens when we connect with the Lord in joy. Like, isn't he a genius that he would wire us that way? He wired us for connection in that way. So the reason why I took you through that is because I wanted to refresh you before we all left. But I also wanted to point out that this tool in the Inviting Jesus, oftentimes it happens in a negative memory. So if a negative wounding trauma event, you know, you can re-experience it. If I were to ask you to go there, I'm not going to ask you to do that, but I know just talking about it might trigger, so I'm just a caution. You don't have to go there. But if I were to make you describe or have you describe a traumatic moment, you would re-experience it and relive it on some level, right? You would have a picture, a feeling, an emotion, or whatever. Those things would kind of resurface, and you'd almost re-experience it. Well, oftentimes that is what we do in therapy. However, my opinion is the best way to remove trauma is to connect in joy at a 5-bar Emmanuel first, and then let the Lord walk us through to whatever it is that he wants to do, because then he can completely change that memory, right? But we have to have that connection first. Sometimes I've seen it done where people have tried to just jump right into the bad memory in the place where someone was traumatized and try to present Jesus, but it hasn't always worked very well. because they're still very disconnected and re-experiencing the trauma, and they haven't been able to have that connection with the Lord. And especially if they don't have a good connection with Jesus versus Father and Holy Spirit, right? It wasn't really effective in some moments. So really it depends on the person that you're with. So that's why I like to walk through kind of the father ladder a little bit to just kind of know about them and where they're at. But we can just, again, how do we connect with the Lord first in a place of joy and connection? And then we can ask him what he wants us to do with that and take you either through that memory or not. He may want to take you somewhere else, not anywhere close to that memory. He may want to take you like to the seaside, and walk along the beach and talk with you about other stuff there first. Then he might be able to take you back to that other place. So I know that it's a tool, and it is a powerful tool. I have watched people through that where they have been able to come back to that place of pain and trauma, and they've invited the Lord in that, and the Lord was able to completely disempower that traumatic memory. He was able to completely change it. He gave a different revelation, or he was able to minister in such a way that brought healing in the present in dealing with a past memory. Okay, so I know it's a powerful tool, but the reason why I did it this way is simply because I really believe there's greater power in connecting with him in joy and connection first. And always, 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 because this is what we're talking about in Freedom Tools also, is it's always Spirit-led. Right? So we've got to ask the Lord, where does he want to go? What does he want to do? We don't always just go jump right into this memory or this situation that just happened or whatever it is, like in your trauma moment, and you're like, oh, okay, well, let's bring Jesus in here. Well, he may not want to talk about that memory right then. It might be really traumatic. It might be really hard, right? So remember, it's Spirit-led. It has to be Spirit-led. But that's why I walk you through the other, is because that is a tool out of HeartSync, where we start in the HeartSync model. We always start with joy connection with him first. Why? Because intimacy and relationship matters. And everything that I just did with you, I just asked you to listen. I didn't ask you for any feedback because I wanted to just have you all as a group kind of walk through that corporate experience. But intimately, one-on-one, I would be asking for feedback for you to be a reporter and just kind of tell me what you heard, what you saw, what you felt. And that's going to give me feedback on how then to pray or how to ask the Lord for the next step. But it's all filtered in on how you just heard him, right? Like, how did you see him? How did you hear him? Did you experience a difference when we walked through the Father letter, right? Or when you just watched through this memory, what did he show you? What did he say to you when you asked, who do you say that I am? What did he say? What did he show you, right? When you asked, what are you giving to me? What did he tell you? What impression did you get? How did he show you? How did he speak to you? Remember, he speaks to us in lots of different ways, but that was an invitation to have conversation with the Lord, and we paused. And those were kind of short pauses, to be really honest. We could have sat there in silence for quite a long time, but then I would have been asking as a facilitator, are you hearing something? Are you getting anything? I just need you just to report back what you're getting. And if you're like, not yet, okay, then I'm going to wait another couple minutes. Because it's not about me. This is all about you hearing the Lord, him talk to you and ministering to you, and you just reporting to me kind of what's going on so that we know how to kind of direct the prayer time. Does that make sense? But it's all about, at the core of it, connecting you to God and you hearing from him. And then you just reporting back what's going on that we can facilitate. So that was just a snippet of a little bit of what we do in Inner Healing Prayer Ministry. And those are different tools that we can use. We could walk through some other things and see. We could have gone into a repeat me prayer once something was revealed in a negative. And you could have gone in all of that, right? But at the very end of the prayer session, I would usually end it right back here where we just were, with reconnecting in a positive way, in a positive encounter. What does he want to say to you? What does he want to give to you? What would be that positive infilling or blessing, right, that he would say? We always want to be able to end and close in that positive way as well. Okay? All right, so that was Freedom Tools Inner Healing. We are done with this book. Now we're going to start something else next week. But before we close, I wanted to just give anyone an opportunity, if you wanted to share anything that the Lord revealed or did, or if you had any questions. Anybody have anything? Let me get you a mic so we can get it recorded. I remember, these are being recorded, so be mindful.
Oh my gosh, I just love the Father Ladder. It's my favorite thing. So I'll just tell you what happened. First, since forever, I always connected to Father God. It was just the easiest thing. I had an extremely passive father, but it was just so easy for me to connect with Father God ever since I was little. And so, and then, you know, throughout life, trauma happened, different things happened, but the main one I always connected to was Father God. Well, I would say a couple of years ago, you know, we always, I don't know if I'll make sense, but, you know, I just really asked, because it was always Father God, and then it was always Holy Spirit that I connected to next, but then Jesus, I didn't really connect so much. And a lot of wounding, or anytime I got mad at God, it was getting mad at Jesus. And so that's just some backstory to me. So within the past couple of years, Father God was like, okay, you know, just invite Jesus and let him be your friend and let him romance you and let him walk through healing with you and abide with him. Like, abide with us, of course. And of course they're all one, but my picture of Jesus, I just struggled with that. And so now I've gotten some cool healing, and I love connecting with Father God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. But today, I just noticed that, I mean, I connected a lot with Jesus, and whenever she led us through the Father ladder, I noticed that I was a little upset with some things that happened in the past couple of months. And I noticed today that, because I like to, in my quiet time, I love to do this. But today I really noticed, I'm like, oh, I'm upset, but I'm not upset with Jesus. I'm upset with Father God through some things, there's some situations. But I'm like, okay, but it was just really sweet, because, you know, whenever she first told us, okay, connect with the first part of the Trinity, whoever's the main one, or not main one, but you remember what she said, whoever's highlighted. And so I connected Jesus. And then she said, you know, go to the next part of the Trinity, whoever comes up next. And then we went with Holy Spirit, and I got to walk through some stuff with him and then the other one. And so, and I didn't know, I don't know if I'm making sense, it doesn't matter. It's just what just happened to me. And so then I noticed something in my heart that I wouldn't have noticed, because I connect with Father and Holy Spirit, I connect with God through this, but I just didn't notice. And so I got to walk through some things. And then whenever Cindy said, you know what, ask him to give you something. And so it was just Father God. And it's so simple. And rewind, whenever she said, what is he saying to you? And so, I mean, it's so simple. It's always so awesome to go back to the basics, but he just told me, you don't have to do anything. And I feel like my world every day is just full of tasks, that, and I'm responsible for all of these things, but it's just so sweet to just abide. And that's in my quiet time with the Father, with God, I always push just to abide, and push just to rest, and push just to be. And so it's just really sweet to get there, but it was just such strong revelation when Father God just said, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to open your mouth. You don't even have to, you just be there. You don't even have to think about anything. And so, like I said, it was just so simple. And then whenever she said, okay, have him give you something. And so I was laying here, and I wasn't going to get up, and I wasn't going to do anything. And I just had my hands open, and then Father God gave me a hug. It was just so sweet. And so I was laying there, and so the Lord told me to hug myself, like use my hands, because they're his hands. And I'm not a physical touch person, but it was just the sweetest thing, just to be and just to abide and just to be held by the Father. Like, I love to exercise this, but especially that today I was carrying some sort, there was a wall wanting to be built up against the Father in my heart. But the Father, it was just so, I know it sounds silly, but it was just so simple. It was just really profound. It was really, really great.
Sometimes our encounters don't have words to really fully explain, like, what you just went through, you know? Yeah, that's great. Anybody else want to share?
I'll just share the God the Father part. I went to Jesus first and then the Holy Spirit because that's kind of my relationship. I kind of go to God last. I kind of see him a bit like the Abraham Lincoln statue man. Not quite as scary, but like, you know, very honorable, very refined. Like, you're not going to see him walking around in shorts and a t-shirt. Like, you know, he's wearing his suit. Like, you know, a little formal. So I said, all right, I don't want to picture God that way. So the next thing I saw was my dad, which almost made me laugh out loud because he tells like the most corny jokes and he wears like tube socks. And like my dad is very funny. So I was like, that's not God. That can be God in my mind. And I kind of felt him say, well, there's some similarities. So I said, all right, you could stay for now as my father. So then she said, have God the Father say something to you. And so I kind of felt like what my father would say to me in the natural is also what God the Father wanted to tell me, was that he was proud of me and that I've done so much, you know, and almost like, you know, my father would say, hey, you went to college, you know, you got married, you're being successful, you know, all this stuff. I felt like God was telling me the same thing. You know, I'm so proud of you. You've done so much. You know, you might look how much you've grown just like that. So I was like, wow, because I normally would not think of God the Father in that light. So I was like, he might be more like my earthly father than I thought. So that was pretty cool.
Anyone else want to share? Yeah.
So, during the first part of the Trinity exercise, I guess, I got an image of myself as a child on my father's shoulders, because my father was a big guy. He was like 6'2 and pretty heavy set. So I knew two things when I was on his shoulders as a kid. One, I was invincible, and two, I was loved. So I had very strong images and memories of me being on top of my father's shoulders. And then the next image was being cradled and rocked back and forth. And then remembering at a later time in my life, maybe 4 or 5 years old, asking my mother to hold me, not because I was tired or wanted to be held, but because I liked the sound of her voice when my head was on her shoulders. And then the third image I got was memories of my buddies that I had in high school and college, specifically ROTC friends who I did a lot of drilling with and a lot of living with, and a couple of memories of them saying, we're in this together. So that was my Jesus image. Mm. It was pretty cool because I never saw it that way before.
Awesome. Yeah, he's a pretty good ROTC buddy. Anyone else want to share? All right. Well, I just want to encourage you to take some time with the Lord this week. You know, again, these are great tools for us to use in ministry with other people as we come in contact with them. But I always think it's really important for us to walk through first, you know, for us to be able to have those encounters and have those testimonies with the Lord, and it not necessarily just be all like issue or problem focused, right? Like, but being able to encounter the Lord in that way and walking through the Father ladder and experiencing the Lord or asking him to share with you things. You know, a real fun favorite little exercise that we always like to do is go to heaven. You know, so you can just close your eyes and just ask the Lord, okay, let's go to heaven. So show me what heaven is like. You know, or what does my garden look like in heaven? And I did this one time and had a radical encounter with the Lord. And I saw my garden and has very unique and really hilariously like personal kinds of stuff in it. That was just like, oh my gosh, yeah, that would be in my garden. But it was fascinating. All the little nations that I've been to, whatever, you know, I collect little things or whatever. And in my garden had like, not like birdhouses, but they were like little, like places, like, I don't know how to explain it, but symbols or things are like, you know, when you have like garden statues or whatever, you know. Anyway, I had all of those from all these different places and different experiences and different memories or whatever, and it was almost like a timeline of some things in my life were laid out in my garden. And so it was just really amazing because it was funny at the same time and just really powerful. And so I just encourage you with a childlike heart to enter into that time with the Lord and just talking with him and letting him just play with you. And letting that part of you just be able to be open and receptive to hearing from him and asking him questions. Like, sometimes I think we, like, pray and ask the questions, but then we don't listen. Or we pray and we, like, tell him a bunch of stuff, and then we go on with our day. Like, we don't practice the listening part of prayer, or soaking prayer, as some have called it, to just soak in his presence, but to really listen, but to ask him questions. Ask him, what do you think of me? You know, and it not just be like assignment based, like what are we doing next, you know, kind of a thing, like not necessarily task oriented, but just what do you want to show me? What do you want to give to me? Who do you say that I am? How, you know, whatever that is, just asking him those questions, taking those time in your quiet time with him. It's good to do it as a course of study and all those other kinds of things, you know, the tasks and the assignment and all those things. But just being like Naomi was sharing, just be still and know that I am God. And how cool is it that we get to encounter him in such an intimate way and to hear from him in such a personal way, stuff that he would share with us that nobody else would really know or get. Like, I don't know, God gets my inside joke. Like, we have inside jokes. Do you have inside jokes with the Lord? I have inside jokes with the Lord. Like, only he would know some of that stuff, right? So, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Just to close us out then, Father, we thank you so much that you are such a good dad. Lord, and I just thank you that you are bringing an invitation to each one of us to come into a greater understanding of your goodness and your fatherhood, Lord, over us. And our identity as sons and daughters, Lord, that you are restoring our hearts. Lord, you are making us whole. Lord, you are helping us to forgive and to move forward in every area of our heart by revealing your love for us, Daddy. We thank you for that. And Jesus, we thank you that you are revealing who you are as friend, companion, and brother, as King, the majestic one, the one who's worthy, the one who's worthy, the Lamb who is worthy. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, our bridegroom God, who is coming again. And Holy Spirit, we love you, and we honor you, and we treasure you, and we thank you for the wisdom and the revelation, the comfort, the fun, and the fire that you bring, and yet the peace that passes understanding in the midst of storm. We thank you for who you are. So thank you, God. We want to encounter you in a greater way, so help us to continue to do that, Lord. I just pray that you just seal up what's been done tonight, that the enemy may not be able to pluck it out, but that it would just grow and grow and grow and manifest new encounters. Father, I speak sweet sleep and blessing tonight over each spirit here, those that are listening, that rest would be multiplied. Deep rest, body, soul, and spirit would come as we sleep and drink of you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.